Ignition sequence start.
See, Elijah Wan has David Robinson just bamboozled.
Kelly out of the corner for three, hit it!
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
The Houston Rockets select Yao Ming.
McGrady at the buzzer.
Yes! Paul touch it up!
Thompson steps right, shoots for the win, a three, he got it!
I know what we need to do. I know exactly what we need to do.
Russell Westbrook.
James Harden.
I know what's at stake.
It's going to be scary. Not for us.
No James Harden, no Russell Westbrook, no Clint Capella. Eric Gordon goes for a career-high 50 in a W against the hottest team in the Western Conference, the Utah Jazz, who had won 19 of their last 21 games and were, at the time of this game, sitting in the second seed in the West. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, Jackson Gatlin. You can find me on Twitter, at JT Gatlin. You can also find our show on Twitter, at Locked On Rockets. And tell you what, if you enjoy what we do here, do me a favor, follow us, subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple iTunes, Himalaya, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcast. If you could follow us, subscribe to us, maybe drop us a review or a few stars, I would sincerely appreciate it. This Rockets win. There was no expectation for them to win this game. This was like the New Orleans Pelicans game, but like amplified tenfold. Even going into the Pelicans game, I was like, okay, cool. No Russ, no James, no Clint. All right, it's an automatic L. It'll be okay. And then they played really amazing basketball for three quarters, and then the letdown was pretty huge in the fourth. So that sucked. This game was like that, but on steroids, because it's the Utah freaking Jazz. They were the second best team in the conference. There was zero expectation for this team to come in here and actually play the way that they did. They could have just waltzed in there and said, you know what, we'll take our L. We already lost to the Denver Nuggets, which was disappointing. Now we're going to lose to the Jazz. We're going to slide down to maybe the seventh seed. They didn't do that. Eric Gordon and company had other plans. EG finished the night 50 points, a new career high. It's been over a decade since he set his prior career high as a rookie with the Clippers, a 41-point game back in 2009 against the Thunder as a member of the Los Angeles Clippers. So he sets a new career high, 50 points, 6 boards, 3 assists, 2 steals, a block, had a couple turnovers, 16 of 20 from the free throw line. He was on some James Harden stuff in this game, I'm telling you. 6 of 11 from behind the arc, 14 of 22 overall shooting, played 38 minutes. Absolutely a hell of a game from Eric Gordon. In fact, this is the first time for the Rockets since, what is it, mid-90s, that they've had more than, or that they've had three players score 40-plus each in the same season. So this has been, obviously James has done it a few times, right? Obviously. Russ has done it. And now Eric Gordon has done it with the 50-burger. This is the first time it's happened since, I want to say it was Hakeem, Clyde, and Robert Horry who did it back in like 95 or something. I tweeted out the information. I just don't have it sitting right in front of me. But that's an amazing development, having Eric Gordon go off the way that he did. I mean, and we'll hear from Austin Rivers in a little bit, who spoke post-game to the Rockets and, you know, to the reporters and basically explained, you know, Eric Gordon, just the way he's built, he just, defenders can't get him away from the basket. He goes in there and people just bounce right off of him. And that's the uniqueness in the way that Eric Gordon drives. And I think I've spoken about this before, about how James Harden, Eric Gordon, and Russell Westbrook, while they're all three really great at driving the basketball, they all three do it in completely different ways, right? James Harden, little finesse, you know, obviously he's a big, strong dude, and he's got to tear through people's arms to be able to, you know, get to the basket, but you don't really see James actively, like, lowering his shoulder too often, you know, and completely bumping off defenders. He uses his strength more to get past guys And obviously he's got the handles to create space, all that stuff. Westbrook is just sheer explosiveness, right? Westbrook just relies on his ability to explode and get past the defender and right up to the cup. And even then, sometimes he blows a few bunnies here and there. But Eric, the way that Eric gets to the cup, it feels almost like he's not going full speed sometimes. And then he gets there and he's got his little 1-2 step. He drops the shoulder in and defenders just go flying away from him. And he's got that kind of fall away, you know, little bank shot that feels like it's not going in. And then it still does. So again, a phenomenal night from Eric Gordon. Austin Rivers and Daniel House both had really successful evenings as well. 21 points for Rivers. Wow, can't even talk. 21 points for Rivers. Just one assist, so not a great night distributing the basketball. Rivers did have kind of an inefficient evening. He was only 7 of 21 overall, just 2 of 8 from behind the three-point arc, but he was aggressive, and he kept the defense honest. His ability to drive the ball kept them, you know, engaged, kept the defense, you know, rotating, and he didn't have the most efficient evening, but he was still a critical part of what this team was able to do against, you know, the 32-13 Utah Jazz, who had only lost 3 home games up until this point. And then Daniel House Jr., 21 points, 5 steals, 11 rebounds, couple of assists, 7 of 9 shooting from the charity stripe, 2 of 5 shooting from behind the arc. Really impressive night from Daniel House Jr. Also, I will say that Austin Rivers did have a block, right, on Rudy Gobert, it was. That was pretty sick. So that kind of makes up for whatever inefficiency he did have. But past that, I mean, even the Jazz, and look, I have to eat a little bit of crow, okay? Because I was upset at the start of this game, as were many of you, about the fact that PJ Tucker was the starting center and not Isaiah Hartenstein or even possibly Tyson Chandler. That it seemed like MDA was going completely off the reservation by starting a lineup of a bunch of 6'5 guys and under. But it worked. Now, is it always going to work? Probably not. The Rockets did out-rebound the Jazz 40-38. So it did work. They didn't get crushed on the boards like I thought they were going to. Rudy Gobert was just largely useless the entire evening. I mean, he had 12-14. But as far as his impact defensively from, you know, the defensive player of the year, Rudy Gobert, he didn't have an impact. Because he was being forced to guard Rockets out on the perimeter, which is not in his forte. If he doesn't get to camp at least near the paint, then it opened everything up for this team. So much so that they were actually -9 in the minutes that Isaiah Hartenstein played. So the only minutes with a traditional true center, they were -9. So, I mean, we like to, you know, rant and rave about MDA's coaching, but in this one, he did a good job of putting guys in the spots that they needed to succeed, as well as running a little bit of Thabo Sefolosha at the 5 spot. Daniel House Jr. basically played power forward all night. And then even past that, there were points where the Jazz started to kind of make some runs, and MDA called timeouts very quickly. He regrouped his guys, and they came away with the win. So they did a phenomenal job, and we'll continue to break this down. I think the key stretch of this game was actually the third quarter, because the Jazz made a couple significant runs to try and get themselves back into this game in that third quarter, and the Rockets responded well. So we'll get to that. We'll get to listening to a bit of audio from Austin Rivers post game in just one moment, so don't go anywhere. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Talking about the Rockets' very surprising 126-117 win over the Utah Jazz in Salt Lake City, dropping the Jazz to 32-14 on the season, improving the Rockets to 29-17, now 14-10 on the road. So as promised, I don't want to go through this kind of significant stretch, I think, in the third quarter, which is where this game was really, that was the make or break quarter. It really was, because the Rockets came out with a lot of energy to start the game, way more energy than I think the Jazz were expecting. I mean, you finished the first quarter 28-20, so a nice little cozy 8-point lead. And then in the second quarter, you beat them 31-26. You carry the 13-point lead into halftime. And so you knew that the Jazz were going to go back there. Quinn Snyder, he was going to regroup his troops, kind of get everybody, you know, in a better area mentally, I guess, and come back out. And the Jazz are a well-coached team, right? You were expecting a punch out of the gate in the third quarter, and that's exactly what happened. So you roll into the third quarter, 59-46, and Eric Gordon hits a three to start the second half, which was a great, you know, great sign that you were starting the half off right. But then the Jazz kind of make this push, and eventually they whittle down the score to where it's 64-58, right? So Donovan Mitchell has hit a three, has had a couple other buckets, Rudy Gobert a bucket, you know, 64-58, 6-point lead, right? So suddenly you went from having a 16-point lead down to a 6-point lead. And that was the first area where the Rockets did respond. So PJ Tucker hit a much needed three to bump the score back 67-58. And then Donovan Mitchell comes back down, hits another bucket off of a Joe Ingles assist. Eric Gordon then hits another three. So you've got a 10-point lead now, 70-60. Austin Rivers hits a free throw, 71-60. Austin Rivers hits his second free throw, 72-60. And from there, it kind of ping-pongs back and forth again. Bogdanovich hits another step-back jump shot, bumps it up 72-63. Then Bogdanovich hits another one in a row, 72-66. So again, 6-point lead. And with this lineup, with no Harden, no Westbrook, no Capella, no lead feels comfortable. Even the 16-point lead didn't feel comfortable. It didn't feel like it was enough. Even near the end of the game, when they still had a double-digit lead, it didn't feel like enough. And we saw the Jazz make a late-game push to try and get back into this one. But this third quarter is where I feel like the game legitimately was won. Because again, as they kept making these little pushes, you know, getting it within six, within seven, within eight, the Rockets always had a response. I mean, even further down the line, 79-70 in favor of the Rockets, and then Thabo Sefolosha hits a three. So this game, really impressive, kind of a gut check win by this squad without their two superstar guards, without their starting center. And I think Austin Rivers kind of summed it up really well. So we'll hear his audio right now.
Do you think this game was more uplifting, just given all the things going on right now?
For sure. It's a big momentum game, I think, for us. You know, we've been, as a team as a whole, the past week, 2 weeks, we haven't played our best basketball. Been very inconsistent in our efforts. So to come in here tonight with our two best players and our starting center not playing, you know, I'm sure we kind of came in here like, you know, this is going to be an easy win. That's just natural for any team, but we have a lot of good players on this team. This is why we feel like we can be the team that can win something this year, win it all this year. And that's why we have very little excuses when we have our full team that we shouldn't be a top two team in the league right now, because our talent is through the roof. So we have to take this game, but learn from it, understand that, you know, we got to keep building and get better.
First career 50-point game for Eric. When you see him just on fire like that, what does it do for the rest of the team collectively?
I mean, you just marvel in it. You know, it's like a bowling ball, man. When he drives to the basket, he just bounce off him. He's so low to the ground. He's so strong. You know, Eric is built like a fullback. You know, his body, like an NFL. Seriously, I always tell him, he picked the right sport. Obviously, it's worked out well for him, but I think he could have played in the NFL too, because he's just so strong. There's times where Gobert was trying to, they just bounce off him. And his range is ridiculous. He's, you know, Eric's a guy that, he played a lot of the teams. He has an all-star capability, and he sacrifices a lot for his team. So tonight you saw the full effect how good he was.
You said this could be a momentum game. To sort of correct some of the things that had been issues, transition,
right,
defense.
Right.
Is this something you can build on rather than just a strange lineup type of win?
No, this is something we've been looking at, going small. That really messed with them. We played small tonight, put PG at the five, and they really struggled guarding that. We played at a speed that was uncomfortable for them. You know, so I would imagine you'll see a lot more of that now. So, you know, we learned that from that. And then I guess in addition to that, you saw the things that, you know, we were bad at. We're 30th in the league in transition defense, and we were much better than that. So, you know, effort's got to be key.
Effort has to be key. That, I think, was one of the most important things. And that's something we've harped on quite a bit, is that this team is talented. There's no doubt about that. Now, is the team a bit undersized as far as, you know, legitimately the size of its players, right? This is one of the oldest, smallest teams in the league. So yeah, that's a bit of a concern there. But just putting forth the effort each and every night is going to net you some wins. It's going to get you some of the hustle plays. It's going to get you some of the 50-50 balls. And it felt like this team came out of the gate and had the effort that they needed to want to win this game. And this isn't a knock on James Harden or Russell Westbrook or Clint Capella. I think that just when you are facing adversity like this team was in this game, it almost forces you to want to try a little bit harder in every facet of the game. I mean, if you're an underdog, like a significant underdog, like this wasn't just like, oh, the Rockets have a sort of a chance to win this game. No, it was the Jazz should have walked in there and creamed this version of the Rockets, and they didn't. This is almost as much of a choke job on the Jazz as it is a great win for the Rockets. Now, they did have some guys show up. I mean, Bogdanovich finished the night 30 points, 7 of 13 from behind the arc, 10 of 18 overall shooting. And then Donovan Mitchell had himself a game too, 36 points, 3 of 10 from behind the arc, 14 of 25 overall shooting. Like, they had a couple guys show up, but basically that was it. You know, Rudy Gobert was largely neutralized on the defensive end. His defensive impact was just negligible. And then the rest of their team, just not much going on. Mike Conley had 10 points off the bench. Clarkson, 8 points. The three-point shooting was really rough for their entire team. Just 28.5% from behind the arc, so 12 of 42. Not great there. And then I had a couple people in my mentions, you know, last night talking about the Rockets getting 49 free throw attempts. And I will say it was a bit of a favorable whistle, you know, towards the Rockets in this one. But at the same time, the Rockets were being aggressive. And that when you're aggressive, when you're driving to the rim as often as this team was, you're gonna get your fair share of whistles, especially when you drive as hard as Eric Gordon was driving, or as hard as Austin Rivers was driving, or Daniel House. Those three guys accounted for, hang on, quick math. This is tough for me. I'm a liberal arts major. Okay, 28, 28, 37. All right, they accounted for 37 of the 49 free throws. That's incredible across three guys. I mean, there's not enough good things that we can say about what this means to this team as far as, you know, just how impressive of a win this was. When they could have just called it in, they could have just said, you know what, we're just, you know, we're without our two guards. We're just not even going to bother. I think, too, a large part of this was, and, you know, we kind of see this whenever one of James or Russ is missing and there's a time where there's not either of them on the court. There was a little bit more ball movement. There was a little bit more of kind of some of those dribble handoffs, a little bit more action, and not nearly as much ISO. Now, I'm not knocking the Westbrook ISOs because they're not really traditional ISOs. It feels like more he's playing out of the post these days, which is huge. Because it's either 2 points for Westbrook in the paint, or it's a wide-open three-pointer for somebody else. But the James Harden isolations, and we've talked about this, especially while he's in his shooting slump, they need to come back in. He needs to rein himself back in a little bit, because this team can play. There are guys on this team who can do more than just stand there, catch the ball, and shoot it. And I think that provides a layer of unpredictability in the offense. Whereas if the game plan is just give the ball to James and he's going to create a shot for somebody, that works like 60 to 70% of the time, sure. But there's nights where James is going to struggle. There's nights where maybe the shooters are struggling and, you know, not hitting their wide open threes. We've seen that before. We've been through that song and dance many a time. So maybe you kind of rein back in the isolation play a little bit and you let the other guys get their hands on the basketball just a little bit. You know, some more dribble handoffs, some more pick and roll, you know, get other guys, you know, and I'm not asking for PJ Tucker to start driving to the rim. No, like, but it keeps the defense on its toes if it's not just, if the offense isn't just being channeled through one guy for the entire 48 minutes, which is what it usually is when Harden and Westbrook are playing. The offense channels through those two guys the entire 48 minutes. So I think this game is an example of how the offense can be a bit more diverse. You can get everybody involved rather than just relying on wide open threes. So we've got our final segment here in just one moment. Final thoughts on this game and the Portland game coming up Wednesday night here in just a moment. But first, if you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But what you may not know is that Locked On Rockets is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Houston Rockets fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. And not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Houston Rockets fans and a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. You can text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. And we are back in here for our final segment at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Still going over the Rockets 126-117 win against the Utah Jazz. We've already kind of spoken about the big three from this game: Eric Gordon, Austin Rivers, Daniel House Jr. Who House played 46 minutes? Like, I don't remember not seeing him on the court, I guess. I mean, that's surprising. So Daniel House Jr. played a season-high 46 minutes. Austin Rivers also came in right behind that at 41 minutes. So kind of good on those two for being able to, you know, take the burden of the heavy minutes in a night where, you know, you've got a short rotation. Hartenstein did play 6 minutes. Clemens played 6 minutes, or sorry, 7 minutes. But P.J. Tucker didn't play 40-something minutes. That's kind of nice. P.J. just had 32 minutes in this one. So Rivers and House kind of picking up the slack there, soaking in some of those extra minutes, which those guys can kind of handle. Those guys can kind of handle some extra minutes because they don't have the usual workload of traditional starting players. Kind of a shout out. Let's go kind of get to the bench area. I know I mentioned Tabo Cephalosha earlier, but 9 points, 3 rebounds, had an assist, a couple steals, some great defense, and some flashy dribbling. So Tabo Cephalosha kind of in his bag a little bit. Hartenstein didn't do a whole lot in his 6 minutes. He did have a couple offensive rebounds. One of them was a tip-in for his only 2 points. Had a couple turnovers, though. And again, the Rockets were -9 in his minutes with the traditional center out there on the court. So they just kind of opted to go back to small ball after that small sample size, which again, we harp on MDA not playing Hartenstein. And this matchup maybe not be the best example, or sorry, might not be the best example of being upset about it, because look, it worked going small. Now, does that mean it's going to work every time going small? No, but it worked this time because Rudy Gobert isn't a lanky, you know, athletic guy like, say, maybe Jeremy Grant, who could run at the five spot, like for the Denver Nuggets, and where you would still maybe lose out on some rebounds due to his athleticism. Gobert is a big, slow dude. So having him have to be out there on the perimeter, the Rockets were getting wide open looks. It was also pulling Gobert a little bit further out of the paint, which allowed them to, you know, get secure more rebounds. It's, you know, it was not a no-brainer because, again, I'll eat crow. I thought it was a stupid decision, but MDA, that's why he gets paid the big bucks to coach this team. Michael Frazier was +11 in his minutes. So Michael Frazier actually getting some burn, had 20 minutes in this one. He hit a three. He hit three of his four free throws. Didn't do anything else down the stat sheet apart from commit four fouls. So he had a handful of points, hit some free throws. Nice for him to finally get some, you know, NBA burn besides just garbage time. And then P.J. Tucker, got to give P.J. some love. He's the reason this entire scheme works. He's the reason you can go small, because P.J. Tucker at 6'5 is able to guard Rudy Gobert at 7'1 and box him out successfully for rebounds. Combined, Tucker and House had 21 boards. They had, you know, half of the Rockets' rebounds together as a duo. P.J. with 10 rebounds, had 3 offensive boards, which were huge, 5 assists, he had a steal, he had a block, 3 turnovers, you know, not the end of the world. Had 5 fouls, you know, so he made sure to get every single foul out there and make use of all of them. Just hit 1 3-pointer. He had a 3 that looked really bad at one point. You know, and that's probably just the shoulder stinger. You know, hopefully that gets better sooner rather than later, but he's got to keep playing through it. You know, the chances of getting P.J. Tucker any significant rest at this point in the season is slim to none. So as long as they can at least monitor his minutes and keep him around that 30-minute mark, that's about as good as you're going to do, because P.J. really can't take a game off or the Rockets are going to struggle defensively. Now, as far as the, you know, the meaning behind this game, the Rockets only faced the Jazz 3 times this season. So this is kind of one of those odd head-to-head matchups where whoever wins the 2 games has the head-to-head matchup secured, period. There is no tiebreaker past that. It's not like the Denver Nuggets, which the season series is wrapped up now and it's two games apiece. So the Rockets have to rely on another tiebreaker should they land at the same win-loss numbers as the Nuggets come the end of the season. But this game was the one where you thought, okay, the Rockets are going to lose this one, which means they have to win the next two. No, now you have some wiggle room. Now you can maybe afford to lose one of the other matchups against the Jazz. And here's some food for thought and kind of a crazy idea. With as well as this lineup worked against the Jazz this time around, do the Rockets maybe start this lineup, or, well, you know, this the version of this lineup that features Russ and Harden, obviously, do they maybe bench Capella for the next game? Do they maybe start with PJ at the five and just see how it goes? And then maybe bring in Capella, you know, off the bench? Look, these are the kinds of creative coaching decisions that I would love it if Mike D'Antoni took the risk on it just to see how it would work. Because you can try it for the first 6 minutes, and if the Jazz have figured out a counter to Rudy Gobert having to guard perimeter players, then you abandon the strategy. You throw Clint back in, you say, hey, Clint, I'm sorry I took away one of your starting, you know, one of your starts this season. My bad. Or maybe you just rest him that game, too. You know, if he's still dealing with the heel injury, which I'm pretty sure they play the Jazz again in, you know, a couple weeks. They play, it's like February 9th or something that they play again. So maybe if Clint's still, you know, resting and recuperating from that heel injury, then he takes another Jazz game off. And the Rockets go small and Rudy Gobert is caught on an island again. I don't think MDA will do it. I don't think the Rockets will do it. But it'd be interesting to see if, you know, if the strategy behind it is so important that they decide, you know what, we're just going to try it out. Past that, as far as Eric Gordon goes, he has been phenomenal since coming back from injury. He looks to be in great shape. His shooting, as always, is going to be a little bit up and down, but for the most part, he's shooting over 40% from behind the arc since he came back, and that's what his job is. But him being the dynamic third scoring option on this team when Harden and Westbrook are both healthy and playing well, I say healthy and playing well because Westbrook's health was an issue most of the season, and now it's Harden's health slash slump that's causing the team issues. So once all three of those guys are on the same page and playing good basketball together, this team is tough to beat, especially when you're playing defense the way that they did in this one. They were locked down throughout that first half, you know, closing out on shooters, forcing the Jazz into bad shots. The second, you know, the third quarter, same deal. They played some pretty solid defense. It was the fourth quarter where the Jazz really started kind of, it felt like they were starting to get hot a little bit, where they were finally kind of catching back up and, you know, looking at it like the Jazz hit 4 3-pointers. They hit a third of their 3-pointers in the fourth quarter alone. So, you know, that was the point where, yeah, Bogdanovich hit 3 of them. Ingles hit 1 of them. But that was where the Jazz started to mount their comeback a little bit. They outscored the Rockets 42-39 in that quarter. So just not enough, or, you know, too little too late, whatever you want to call it for the Jazz. But a great win for the Houston Rockets leaves them still in the sixth spot in the standings. They're tied up with the Mavericks at 29-17, but they are just now 3 games back of the Denver Nuggets and of the Utah Jazz in the loss column, as well as 3 games back in the loss column of the LA Clippers. So everything's still very tightly contested here in this Western Conference, and being able to get Westbrook and Harden, still being able to get them their rest and take away a game from the Jazz is huge. So I think that's where we will wrap things up for today. As always, thank you guys so much for listening. And if you want more content before our next show, again, I'm on Twitter at JT Gatlin. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. There's also Facebook, which can be found at facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, the website LockedOnRockets.com, and then you've got our email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. You can send in questions, comments, concerns, anything to any of those different areas. I'll respond to you as soon as possible. But again, for this January 28th episode, this is where we break. As always, thank you all so much for listening, and we hope to have you back again very, very soon right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.